You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Scared to Death. I did a funeral recently for one of the ladies in the church. Her mom died. I'm not even sure I had ever met her mom, but the mom's pastor has Alzheimer's, couldn't do it, so I said I would do it. Well, when I showed up, she was in the casket in the front of the funeral home with an urn by her head. And I said, okay, so what we got going here? And that's her husband. And I thought, they must have had a coupon. You know, you never know. So then I was informed that one of the family pets was in there too. I'm like, okay, that's the ultimate get everybody in while you can kind of thing. But when you go and do a funeral like that, and you don't really, you know, the family, and that's about it, you realize you got all kind of people in the room, and I wasn't told that some atheist, it was just kind of a melange of different people and beliefs. But the thing about funerals, people usually aren't crazy about funerals. They don't like going to hospitals, they don't like going to nursing homes, they don't like being around anything and anywhere and anybody where death is possible. Because we don't want to think about it. And we think if we don't think about it, then it's not going to happen to us. And I'll read you some verses as we get to the end of this that reflect people's true terror of this. Just to give you a little background on this, Ernest Becker's book, The Denial of Death, Becker argues that much of human behavior is driven by the subconscious fear of death. People create, quote unquote, immortality projects, such as achievements, legacies, or religious faith to cope with this fear. Terror management theory suggests that awareness of death creates anxiety, which people manage by clinging to cultural beliefs and self-esteem enhancing activities. Studies show that reminders of mortality make people more defensive about their beliefs. So when I go up to somebody and say, if you drop dead, where will you go? That explodes on some people. Because if they don't have an answer, they don't want to answer. Because now they're afraid their answer's not going to work, and then what are they going to do? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, kind of known for a long, long time as an expert in this field, a psychiatrist who developed the five stages of grief. So if you have someone that's died on you or you're dying, you go through denial, according to her, first denial, then anger, then bargaining, depression, and then you finally settle on acceptance. People moving through those. Her book on death and dying obviously gets into that. Research suggests that younger people tend to fear the process of dying more, while older individuals often come to accept mortality, especially those with strong religious or spiritual beliefs. Many fear dying alone without loved ones by their side. I'm not crazy about the thought of that. I don't think that, I mean, my whole family would have to be wiped out for that to happen to me, or I'd have to do something really stupid where they wouldn't be there. The image of being buried, forgotten, and left behind can be distressing. One of my least favorite places, and I go because I need to go, are nursing homes. And in my 20s, I pastored a church in the country, and I would go to this certain nursing home, and it's disturbing to even think and talk about it. Because I would go in there, and I can remember one specific old woman curled up in the fetal position, a mess, just a mess. And then when the workers tell you, nobody comes to see her. She has nobody. And I'd go sit with her and kiss her on the forehead because I'm pretty sure nobody had ever touched her. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Man, you better think about it. You don't want to go out that way. So if you're in a position to help someone not go out that way, it can be very powerful. Some people feel they haven't accomplished their goals, dreams, or purpose in life. Others may regret broken relationships or unresolved conflicts. The question, what happens after death? Is it heaven, hell, reincarnation, or nothingness, illness, accidents, or a painful death can cause anxiety? Religious individuals may fear standing before God and being judged for their actions. Some worry about hell or not being good enough, quote unquote, for heaven. The fact that you can't control it, letting go and not being in charge of what happens. The idea of complete nothingness. So people say, well, I think you just die, you die. Well, for some people that is disturbing, because if it is complete nothingness after death, that terrifies some people. Many wonder, if I stop existing, what was the point of my life? So what's the point? What are we doing? Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. That's it. Parents may be worried about who will care for their children. Others may feel sad about missing out on important life events. Some fear that their family will suffer emotionally or financially after they're gone. So all this stuff goes through people's heads. Many Christians take comfort in the belief in eternal life. However, some still fear the unknown aspects of death. Atheism, secular views, some non-religious individuals cope with death anxiety by focusing on leaving a legacy, accepting the natural cycle of life, or embracing existential meaning. Eastern religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, concepts like reincarnation and enlightenment help followers reframe death as part of a continuous journey rather than an end. Studies suggest that religious individuals often experience less fear of death due to beliefs in the afterlife. A few quotes about this. Augustine of Hippo, "It is not death that one should fear, but the fear of death. For the former is but the end of life, while the latter is the loss of faith." Thomas Aquinas, "For those who love God, death is not an end, but the blessed beginning of eternal life." John Calvin, "We should have no greater desire than to leave this life, provided it be at the Lord's will, for Christ is our life and death is gain." C.S. Lewis, "Christians never say goodbye. They simply say, see you later. For death is but a doorway to the life to come." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "Death is the last station on the road to freedom." Charles Spurgeon, "To a believer, death is but the passage to heaven's joy and therefore no cause for fear." D.L. Moody, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it, a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." Genesis chapter 2. Let's start there and move right. Genesis 2:16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." So that's the only way. It doesn't mean that death had not been inserted into creation at that point. He just said, if you do this, this will happen. And it doesn't take but a few verses later. Took, ate the fruit, and what happened? Death becomes a part of our lives. Psalm 23. And this I normally either read during a service, a funeral service, or at the graveside where there's a little sunlight, and I've shared this before. But if you read the 23rd Psalm, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And what I usually do is get somebody to stand in the sunlight and cast a shadow. So if I've got a 6'9", 300-pound guy that I face, and I have the option, I'm going to have to take that guy on, or I'm going to take his shadow on. Who would pick the shadow? You say, but he's ominous. The shadow, look how big the shadow is. Someone's shadow cannot hurt you. So either you're going to take on death itself, or you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And why will you fear no evil? Because it's just death casting a shadow on your way out. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And in the Old Testament, God was with people. The Holy Spirit came on people, but he could leave. That can't happen in the New Testament. God is not with me. He's in me. So this is very hard to get your head around, because how could you take this immense, infinite, holy God and compress him into a human body in the person of the Holy Spirit? It just doesn't make any sense. But even the enemy knows when I walk in a room, it is not just me. He knows I'm carrying, I'm packing. I'm packing God himself. And so when death goes boo, you go, whatever, dude. God's not just with me, he's in me. And I can walk right through your shadow and you can't touch me. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I get that. That funeral, I told him, I said, look, you know, some of y'all are atheists. And I offer to pray for you and you get upset. Why would you get upset if I offer to pray for you? Even if I pray for you, you should just feel sorry for me. I'm just a crazy old man talking to himself. Why are you upset? Right? If you're really an atheist, yep. I don't want you praying for me. Who do you think I'm talking to? There's no God. Yeah. supposedly. So you say, well, I'm one of those people. There are people that have something called agoraphobia, fear of the marketplace. They won't leave their house because they start thinking, there's a lion in the road. And you know, this could happen. I might get hit by a bus. Stay away from buses. You know, everybody says that, just stay away from buses. But you have these fears that you just get going in your head, and I could get run over, I could be in an accident, this, and this. And you can't live in fear. You can, but it's no way to live. It's not what he intended. And if you don't have a relationship with God through his son Jesus, then you have reason to be afraid. There are a lot of people that fear death. Their whole lives are terrified by death, but there's a reason for that. They have no assurance of eternal life. And so they don't know what would happen to them. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Gosh, what a thought. It's precious to him. Like, okay, here they come. I was in the hospital the other day, 30 people in this room, a man that I've known a long time, loved a long time. They pull all the tubes out of him, and it's just a matter of minutes, and he was gone. Man, I know what that looked like for me. He was very sick, and he needed to get well or get out. And God was kind to him and the family and merciful, and he got out. So I'm thinking, what a day, what a moment. Flat lines, no heart rate, he's gone. You say, well, but this is so sad. Not if you're him, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what could possibly beat that? So if it's precious for me to see that, then Jesus on the inside of him and on the other side of death, there to receive him. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So you say, well, as a Christian, when I die, then I will live for eternity with God in heaven. There is a sense in which before you die, you die. You've already, if you're a Christian, passed from death to life just because you have Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus speaking to this woman, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, you may die, physically you may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Asked her, do you believe this? And that's the point. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. It's only going to work for you when you believe it, not just an intellectual assent. It's when you believe it and put your faith and your trust in him and in the facts of this. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So you say, well, what do you mean you'll never die? I am alive in Christ right now. I live in this body. The millisecond I die, it's not me that dies. It's my body that dies. I keep going. I just go boom, boom. It's like Jesus never ceased to be God. He's sitting on the throne 1 minute. He's conceived in a woman's womb, which is part of my argument. Was Jesus nothing until he was born? He never stopped being God. So I will never stop being alive, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I never die. My body dies, yes. If I'm here before Jesus comes back, I die physically, but I will not die. I go from this house, boom, into my new house. Now you say, well, why are you going over all this? Because sometimes non-believers live in terror of death, but sometimes believers, you just think, well, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? And you get afraid. Stop being afraid of death. I understand you don't want to die a gruesome death. There are Christians, I think 400 or 500 a day is the number, that are martyred for no reason all over the world every day, martyred for no reason, but they won't back down. They will not deny Christ. So you say, well, how could they do that? Because they know that even if that person takes their life, they can't take their life because their life is in Christ. So what are you going to do? You're going to kill me? Okay, then I'm home. You got nothing. Oh, you're going to hurt me. I don't want to do that. I'd rather you kill me. But if that's what God has for me, let's go. Romans 14:8. Now this is boiling it down to what matters. 14:8 says, for if we live, okay, we're alive. we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. So no matter what happens, it's about him. 1 Corinthians 15:21. And this takes you back to referring back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve screwed up. For since by man came death, so death enters into our reality through Adam and Eve. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There's a very interesting, not a technicality, but Jesus was born like we're born, except that he was born of a virgin. He lives his life, in his case, a sinless life, not in our case. And then he dies, like everybody dies. But there's a twist. He did not die and then just, okay, his body left his body here and he went back to heaven. Not just a technicality. While he's here, he dies on that cross, they bury him, and in that sequence, he is raised from the dead. You say, well, he's going to die again. He did not die again. So he died for our sins, according to the gospel, the scriptures. He's buried and raised from the dead. In that one weekend, he solved all of our problems. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. So how many times you've been born? You say, what are you talking about? Born physically is one thing. Born spiritually, Jesus said you got to be born again. So you say, okay, Lord, I've never been born again. Then get born again. Now, I say if you're born twice, you die once. If Jesus returns in your lifetime and you've been born twice, you don't die at all. You just get taken up in the clouds with him in the air and you're out of here. So you may not even experience that physical death on this side. And my prayer, even so, come Lord Jesus. Let's go. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You say, well, that sounds like universalism, like everybody's going to be saved. Implicit in that is in Christ all shall be made alive. Those who are in Christ, Christ is in them. It's not saying everybody's going to be raised from the dead. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:55. And this, most of this chapter is about Jesus and the resurrection of dead, whether it's a thing or not. And he says this, where, O death, is your victory? If death, if you're such hot stuff and you're the enemy that comes after us and takes us out, where's your victory? If there's resurrection from the dead and there is, then death does not win. Where, O death, is your sting? And I've thought about this for a long time, did some research on this, and I feel better about the answer on this now. Where, O death, is your sting? How many of you have ever been stung by a bee? Is that everybody? If you'd like to be, I can facilitate that at my house. How many of you have been stung by a bee, the same bee, twice? Not possible, put your hands down. When a bee stings you, what happens? He dies. The stinger, unfortunately, ends up in you sometimes. So death has got a stinger. When he takes his shot, which he did on Jesus, he loses it. So Jesus took the sting, and what does it say here? Where, O death, is your sting? You got nothing. You took your shot on Jesus. You killed him. He died on that cross, but he was buried and raised from the dead, and now you got no sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it all goes back to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Kind of quoted this a minute ago. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. I said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's not the whole verse. We are confident, he says, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, I can't tell you 100%. This is probably not great, but I'm working on it. I hope, I'm trying to carve out another however many, 20, 30 years. For what purpose? My whole deal is reaching lost people and seeing them get discipled, and so that when I'm gone, there'll be people left here to carry it on that know what they're doing. You say, yeah, but this says something else. Confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So if I had to pick, is my prayer really, even so, come Lord Jesus? Like, yeah, come today. I can't say that. I know too many lost people. You say, well, but that sounds like a noble thing. I still want the gravitational pull of heaven. And as I kind of say, sometimes if Jesus pulled up in a big bus outside and said, anybody want to go home with me? Yes, sir. What is your reason for staying if you had the opportunity to go today? And they may all sound romantic and nice. I just got married. I got kids. All the things I read before. I don't want to miss out on these things. Man, I would love to be able to honestly tell you, let's go. I'm not there yet. Some of it is family stuff. Some of it's just people stuff. And I assume if he doesn't take me out for some stupid I do, and he leaves me here, then it's because there's work to do, right? So be aware of that. Yes, your pull may be toward heaven and being with Jesus, but he's already in you right now. I understand it would be seeing him there, but you're not going to get more Jesus there than you have here. You'll see more, understand more, but I got the same Jesus living in me that I will be with for eternity in heaven. Philippians 1:21, and this is Paul putting it pretty tight, pretty compressed. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His only reason for being alive here is Christ. And then if he dies, well, that's just gain. And that's my question. Is my reason for still being here, my only reason for being here, Christ? And then look at this, Hebrews 2:14-15. And this kind of says what I've been trying to say today in a couple of verses. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. We live in human bodies. Jesus came, God, man, God, in a human body. Likewise shared in the same, that through death, so here's the point, he took on a body so that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, talking about Satan, that is the devil. And then look at verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So people like I described, they are so scared to death of death that they live in bondage to the fear of death. And then Jesus comes along and you come along and say, hey, man, I used to be so afraid of dying because I didn't know where I would go. I didn't deserve heaven, whatever your answer is. But now I'm not afraid of that anymore because now I know God. I know he loves me. He knows me and he's not just with me. He's in me. So the millisecond I die, I'm out of here. Wouldn't you love to know that? Not be afraid anymore. Just the sheer number of people who live in that fear, bondage of fear to death, of death.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
And the last one, Revelation 21:4. Again, God taking care of tears. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So you say, well, I'm afraid of dying. You don't have to be. You say, well, I got a plan all figured out about what's going to happen to me when I die. You have a way. The Bible says Jesus is the way. And if your way is not his way, you're way off base. You say, well, I don't believe that. I get all that. I'm as calmly as possible just saying, look, he's the way, the truth, the life. Nobody's going to get to the Father but by him. If you're not a believer, you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to face the great white throne judgment and have to give an account for your whole life. And if you don't have Jesus, well, you wouldn't be at the great white throne judgment if you had Jesus in the first place. But if you die without Jesus, you're facing God himself, and there will be no mercy. You see, I thought God was merciful. He is until you die, because then it's too late, and you have rejected him in this life, and he's done everything in his power to reveal himself, and you just said no. That's not going to be on him. And then you will pay the price for rejecting him And that price is eternal death in a real hell forever and ever and ever and ever. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what's your plan? Are you willing to risk your entire eternity on some cockamamie thing you came up with? Or are you willing to trust Jesus? I highly recommend Jesus. Then you don't have to live scared to death anymore.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.